Okay, so Kevin, we're picking up over here in the Avdal and Aleph. We've established that Bedikas Chametz is supposed to be the night of the 14th. We explained why that's so, and therefore, since it's supposed to be the beginning of the night, one is not supposed to engage in other activities prior to the time of Bedikas Chametz. It might even be more chomer than other mitzvahs, where there is certain leeway, and it's really just derived from other from you know, the general principle of not doing activity once the time for mitzvah arrives. Over here, it sounds like there's something specific to Bedikas Chametz that is supposed to be done at the beginning of the night, and therefore the Gemara here singles out Bedikas Chametz more so than other mitzvahs, really, not to engage in other activities once the night comes until one is performed the obligation of Bedikas Chametz. But then the Gemara now moves to a different discussion. Once the obligation of Bedikas Chametz has been established, the Gemara has the following: a person rents leases his home to someone else on the 14th. Al mi livdoik? Al hamaskir livdoik? The chamira didehu? Is it the obligation of the renter, the landlord, to do bedikas chametz? Because in the end of the day, it's his chametz. Al duma asoicha livdoik the sura bershusei kai? Or maybe it's the obligation of the renter to do bedikas chametz because he's the one who's living in the apartment currently. So what exactly is the suffix over here? Let's just take a step back for a second. What the suffix is it the obligation of the person who owns the chametz, or is it the obligation of the person who's living in the apartment currently? So first of all, why are we focusing on Bedikas chametz? Why don't we focus on, well, who is liable for this chametz in terms of Bal Yira, Bal Yimotze? And this is the issue that's lurking behind Tosis's comment, which we'll get to in a second. Is why is the Gemara focusing on Bedikas Chametz instead of Bal Yira, Bal Yimotze? So it sounds like Bal Yira, Bal Yimotze is not an issue currently, and therefore the Gemara is going to focus on the problem of Bedikas Chametz. So Rashi, in the very Masvah Chavis Hadar, which we'll get to that in a minute, that's the continuation of the Gemara, Rashi explains we're talking about a person who already did Bito Chametz. You already negated, meaning you rendered ownerless or valueless the chametz, and the Gemara explained numerous times that bebito ba'al masagi, that you don't really need to do bedikas chametz midoraisa once a person already did bito chametz. Once you negated the chametz, it either works mitam hefker, as is the opinion of Tosis, or it works mitam hashbasa belev, I destroyed it in my heart, the opinion of Rashi later on, I think, on the Dalum of Eiz, which we've seen already. How does a bito chametz work? And we use both lishinus and our nusach of bito lebatel v'lehavi hefker ka'afra da'ara. We make it hefker, and we also destroy it mentally. But however that works, once a person did that, he's avoided bal yira bal yimotze midoraisa. So the obligation to bedikas chametz at that point is only midorabanan. So perhaps that's why the Gemara here really doesn't focus on bal yira bal yimotze. We're talking about a person who already did Bito chametz, and the only situation we need to resolve is who is the one who is obligated now to check the home for chametz to do bedikas chametz. Bal Yira Bal Yimotze has already been avoided once the owner of the chametz did bito. If you look down the Rabbeinu David, okay, over here, that's the first source in the Shita Mar Mekaymis. I hope you got them. Where Rabbeinu David says, you know, basically asked this question. He says, Tama huze ma zu shayla. Misha Oiver, Allah Bali Rabbi Matze, who Sarah Klipdoik, whoever is responsible for this chametz, vis-a-vis Bali Rabbi Matze, the one who has to do the Bedikas chametz, V'efshashem Shoyle, me who Oiver, Allah Bali Rabbi Matze, that can't really be the actual heart of what the Gemara is asking. Shem Kena Yu Oimer Beferish, the Gemara should have stated that explicitly, me who Oiver, Allah, Kadesh Numoid, Al Habito, Shuman Atayra. Why are we focusing on the issue that's only the Rabbanon? We should focus on that which is midoy raisa, which is bito chametz and bal yira bal yimotze. Well, how you shoylin al bedikas sheim edivrayim? We never would have asked about bedikas chametz, which is only midoy rabbanon. Because shekain sheleinin habito ein zu shayla. But forget about the fact that the Gemara seems to be focusing on the wrong thing. If we're talking about a person who didn't do bito chametz yet, the Gemara should have asked who's liable for it in terms of bal yira bal yimotze. But even more than that, which is more of a technical issue, the Rabbeinu David says, what about the fundamental thing over here? Obviously, this is the chametz of the person who is the landlord and the one who actually owns it. What does this have to do with the tenant? Via Emes Bazeh, he says, Shezeh ha-chametz ein over, what is it? V'chol shekhen shalini nabito ein zu shayla, devadai manda chamira didei, alei didei ramen uvetulei. Of course, the one who owns the chametz, meaning here in this scenario, the landlord, is the one who has the obligation to do bito chametz. So, how could it be over here that we're even discussing an obligation upon the tenant if the chametz belongs to the landlord? How could it be the obligation of the tenant? Shemisha ein shalo chametz ein bitulo klum. He can't do bitul chametz if it doesn't belong to him. So therefore, Rabbeinu David concludes by emes bazeh, not like Rashi. Now you could have gone away from this problem and just said we're talking about where the landlord did bitul chametz. The question is, who has to do bedikas chametz now to make sure that the chametz is stored away? So, but that's not where Rabbeinu David says. He doesn't say like Rashi. He goes in a different direction. He says, "Va'emes bozeh shezeh hakometz ein oven lav b'bayi rabbi matzeh." There's no bayi rabbi matzeh. Loi hamaskir v'loi asoicher. The truth of the matter is, even though the chometz belongs to the soicher, to the maskir, to the landlord, who was the previous presumed resident of this apartment, he's not chayiv for bayi rabbi matzeh, and neither is the renter. V'lo ha-soicher, not the tenant either. Zeh she'eino shaloi, v'zeh she'eino b'rshusoi. Now, this is a rule that the Gemara has in Bava Metzia and in many other places. Over here, it's Bava Metzia Zayin Mar Aleph, where the Gemara says, Geza v'lo nesiyashu abaylam. Let's say someone steals something from somebody else. Neither one can be makdish it. Neither one can take it and dedicate it to the Beis HaMikdash, which is a form of a kinyan, a transfer of ownership. Zeh lefi she'eino shaloi, v'zeh lefi she'eino b'rshusoi. This one, because it doesn't belong to him, and this one, because it's not in his he doesn't have access to it. And ownership is expressed in really two fundamental ways. The first is, does it belong to you on paper? And the second is, do you have access to it? Do you have control over it? Right? Possession is 9/10 of the law. So do you have possession of it, which is eino birshusai, and do you have, title to it, which is zeh she'eino shelo? And those are really two critical components of ownership. Specifically when it comes to the areas of, in terms of transferring, rishus from one person, to another entity. And similarly, with regards to bayi rabbi matzeh, in order for you to be liable for it, in terms of, violating bayi rabbi matzeh, it would have to be both shaloi, it has to belong to you, and it has to be birshusoi in your possession, meaning you have access to it. And over here, it's split up. So just like when a person steals something, let's say, so the ganav has physical possession of it, but the original owner is the one who actually owns it. So if the original owner hasn't given up hope of retrieving it, he still maintains some connection to it, right? He hasn't had yeush yet, so it still on paper belongs to the original owner. Once he has yeush, it might already now belong to the ganav. In halacha, there's a strange concept that the ganav actually takes on ownership qualities of the item that he steals. He just has to then pay back its value to the owner. But as long as the owner hasn't given up hope of retrieving it, he retains some ownership over the item, even though the ganav is the one who has possession of it. So since the two parts of ownership in halacha have been bifurcated, have been split, have been divided between the ganav and the owner, neither one can transfer ownership of it. Neither one can dedicate it to the Beis HaMikdash. So similarly over here, says Rabbeinu David, this kind of duality exists. On the one hand, the maskir, the landlord, is the one who owns the chametz. On the other hand, the one who's renting it actually has possession of the chametz. So neither one would actually violate bayi rabbi matzeh. So Rabbeinu David, instead of addressing the issue of bayi rabbi matzeh more head-on, like Rashi does, and Rashi says, now we're talking about a situation where he did biur chametz, Rabbeinu David kind of sidesteps the issue. He says, no one here is going to violate bayi rabbi matzeh, because neither one has full ownership of the item. One owns it on paper, the other one has possession, and halacha, in order to own it completely, you have to have both of those aspects of ownership. Okay, so you avoid bayi rabbi matzeh either by saying we're talking about you already did bitul chametz, or since neither one has both aspects of ownership, there's no bayi rabbi matzeh to speak of. The Gemara therefore focuses on, well, who is obligated to do bedikas chametz? Is it on the landlord, or is it on the tenant? So the Rabbi Chanan Wasserman over here in the Kevet Shiurim, Ois Zayin, says something that's really found in earlier Achronim, which is this suffix of the Gemara should really hinge upon why we do bedikas chametz in the first place, which is an issue we discussed, I think, on day one, on the first day of this man. Why do we do bedikas chametz, which is a basic machlekes between Rashi and Tosfos on Beis Mar Aleph in Masechtas Pesachim? Why do we do bedikas chametz, chaver? According to Rashi, we do bedikas chametz to avoid bayi ra, bayi matzeh. meaning we want to avoid, to make sure that a person doesn't violate those isur midoy raisa of having chametz in his ownership, in his property, over Pesach. According to Tosfos, that's not the concern at all. In which case, by the way, who should be the one doing bedikas chametz? The one probably who has the closer relationship, according to Rashi, who really was the one who owns the chametz in the first place, even though he already did bitol, right, and avoided the issue midoy raisa, it really is his chametz. So according to Rashi, it's obvious who should be the one doing bedikas chametz over here in a rented apartment should have been the landlord, or in other words, the original owner of the chametz. True, he did bitol, and that avoids by Rabbi Matzah. Now all we have to deal with is the chiyuv midrabbanan to bedika. But bedika, according to Rashi, is really an extension of Rabbi Matzah. And therefore, the one who did bito chametz, which is the landlord and the owner of the chametz, should be the one who has to do bedika. It's almost obvious. Tosfos on Beis Amud Aleph said a different explanation for why Chazal imposed an obligation to bedika's chametz, to check for the chametz, even though we're already talking about someone who did bito. So there's no bayi ro bayi motzei to speak of. Says Tosfos, no, you have to do bedika's chametz lest you stumble over a piece of chametz throughout the days of Pesach, as the Gemara says later on, Shema Yimsa Gluske Yofe, you might find a nice cupcake, a nice cake, a cookie, and then I'll be tempted to eat it. So because of Gzeira, Shema Yavali Yachloi, a Gzeira, maybe I'll come to eat the chametz if I find it. Chazal said, you know what? Take the chametz and put it away, get it out of your house ideally, or sell it to a Nachri and put it behind a wall somewhere where you're not going to see it. You cannot have chametz in your house on Pesach because not going to violate by Rabbi Motzei, either might not even belong to you, or you already sold, you already were mavato it. We're afraid of a gzeira shema yavo liyachlo. So chevra, if it's because of a gzeira shema yavo liyachlo, who should be the one to do bedikas chametz here in this scenario of the landlord and the tenant? The landlord originally owned it, but he already did bito chametz. So let's say neither one has full ownership of it. Zeh she'eino shelo v'zeh she'eino b'rishusoi. But at the end of the day, who should be the one to do bedika here? Should be the one who's going to be roaming around the apartment on Pesach. Because the whole obligation of bedika is zeh she'eino yavali yachlo. So that should be imposed on the tenant. So B'chanan says it's almost obvious how this scenario, how this shaila should be, should break out, and it should depend on the machlekes, Rashi and Tosfos, and why we do bedikas chametz in the first place. Yeah, Benji, what do you say?
Ellie has ended first. Okay.
Oh, Ellie, go ahead.
I'll play Benji. Would the nafkamina between this be if a non-Jew were renting from a Jew?
No, if the non-Jew is renting from the Jew, the assumption is there is no obligation of bedikas chametz.
But if it's about who owns the chametz.
Well, you did bito. We're talking about a situation you did bito, or we're talking about zeh she'eino shelo v'zeh she'eino b'rishuso. But the obligation of bedika seems to be linked to the house. That seems to be, and we're going to see that from the Gemara's comparison to mezuzah, right? That seems to be obvious. That the field bedika is linked to having to having a house. Yeah, Benji, what do you say?
Right, so good question. According to Rashi, if the new tenant, if the guy that just rented the house, winds up finding some chametz, would the landlord or the owner of the house by default sort of be violating Rabbi Matzah, even though he wasn't the one that physically found it?
Right, so according to Rashi, that the reason why there's no Bayi Rabbi Matzei in the Sugya is because the owner already did bitol, so no one's going to violate Bayi Rabbi Matzei. And even according to Rabbeinu David, the reason why there's no Bayi Rabbi Matzei in the Sugya, and the reason we're only focusing on bedikas is because it doesn't, one person doesn't have both parts, both halves of what it means to be an owner. So even if the person who's living in the house finds the chametz that belongs to the landlord, he still wouldn't be in violation by Rabbi Matzah, neither would the landlord, because zeh she'eino shelo'i v'zeh she'eino b'shuso. One owns it, but one has possession. And since you don't have both halves, there's no by Rabbi Matzah. Right, so by Rabbi Matzah is off the table. The question over here is, well, who has to do bedika? So Rabbi Chanan claims it should depend on this machlok as Rashi does. Let's read it inside over here. Ois Gimel says Rabbi Chanan the Kavit Shiyum Kasha the Lepedush Rashi. The time of the bedika mishum bal yiroa. If the reason for bedika's comments is to avoid bal yiroa and came pshita that la maskir livdoik, even though he was already mavatel the comments according to Rashi, it is really his problem to worry about. Because he's, according to Rashi, Rashi doesn't bifurcate, he doesn't split up the ownership qualities over here. One has possession, one has ownership. According to Rashi, it's really all the landlord. And even though the landlord did bito chametz, which avoids Bayi Rabbi Matzei, in whatever way that works, In the end of the day, it's his chametz. So it says Rabbi Chanan, according to Rashi, the whole purpose of bedikas chametz is to avoid by Rabbi Yamatzeh. It's almost obvious that the landlord should be the one to do it. Uladas ha'toytzis, and according to Toytzis and Beis Meraof, the tam mishum takala. If the reason for bedikas chametz is because I might find it over yontif and be tempted to eat it, shlo yavel la'achla asoichel ivdoik. It's obvious it's on the person who's roaming around the house to check. So therefore, Rabbi Chanan, we can't have it be, it's corny. But it's more than corny. It's methodologically unacceptable to say that a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos is a suffix in the Gemara and Daat Amud Aleph. That we cannot live with such a situation. If that would be the case, how did Rashi and Tosfos either we're misunderstanding Rashi, we're misunderstanding Tosfos, or misunderstanding the Gemara? But it cannot be Rashi and Tosfos are arguing about a suffix in the Gemara over here on Daf Daud without referencing it. That would be methodologically inconsistent. So this is unsustainable. And that's where Rabbi Chanan is going to learn the Gemara both according to Rashi and according to Tosfos, each one according to their understanding of Bedikas Chametz. So he says like this. He says, Yesh Loimar. It can't be that the suffix in the Gemara is a machlokes in Rashi and Tosfos. We cannot accept that. We can't go to sleep at night thinking that. So he says over here, Yesh Loimar, Lidas Rashi, Da Chametz Shel Yisrael, Hakol Oivrim Babal Yiroh. The truth of the matter is, he says, according to Rashi, that when one Jew has Chametz over Pesach, we all have a problem, not only because of Kol Yisrael, Ravim, Zepaseh, but I'm not really allowed. I can see Chametz or benefit, pass by Chametz of a Nachri, let's say, on Pesach, and smell his Chametz, if it belongs to a Nachri. A Nachri's Chametz is not included in Bali Rabbi Matzah in the first place. But if it's Chametz of another Jew, right, and then, he leaves it over Pesach, that's a problem for everyone, not only because Chametz Shavuot over Pesach is a gzeira on all Jews, right, if one Jew leaves over his Chametz after Pesach, the Bali Matzeh and the penalty of Chametz Shavuot over Pesach extends to all Jews, that's why we have a problem shopping in certain stores after Pesach, because some Jews don't sell their Chametz and retain it over Pesach, the Easter, and now we can't eat that Chametz, but more largely speaking, the Bali Matzeh of one Jew affects the other Jews as well. So therefore, says Rabbi Chanan, the chiyuv bedika rami al habaylim kaidim liisha acher. So the chiyuv really is on the owner. Even though by Rabbi Matzev each Jew affects every other Jew, the obligation is primarily attached or incumbent upon the actual owner himself. That's one side in the Gemara. Or Dilma, and this is what the suffix of the Gemara is according to Rashi. Dilma hada b'agam u'tzar livdar kaidim u'chol adam. Maybe the only reason why, right, each Jew has an obligation to make sure other Jews don't retain chametz over Pesach, because Jewish chametz over Pesach is a problem for everyone. But we said really the obligation to bedika is on the owner of the chametz himself. It's your item. It's you're responsible for it. But it could be the only reason the owner is responsible for it is because it's shaloi, is because it belongs to him and it is b'shusa in his possession. But if the chametz would be in the possession of somebody else, is b'shusa of somebody else, so then maybe the chiyuv of bedika of the chametz, even in light of the fact that bedika is really just a function of Bali Rabbi Matzeh, but in the end of the day, since all Jews are muzhar really on Jewish chametz, and there's a Bali Rabbi Matzeh that applies to all Jews for any other Jew's chametz, maybe I actually have a chiyuv to do bedika for someone else's chametz. Maybe, and that's the subject of the Gemara. So according to Rashi, the Bedika is attached to by Rabbi Amatze, we can learn the subject of the Gemara to be, why is it that the owner has the obligation to do Bedika's Chametz for his Chametz? Is it because, it's his, and therefore, over here, even though he leased the apartment to somebody else, and his Chametz is in the possession of somebody else, he's still the one who has to do Bedika? Or maybe we should say, no, the only reason why the owner of the Chametz has to check for his own Chametz is because he has possession of it. But if it would actually be in the possession of somebody else, as long as it is owned by a Jew, even though it's a different Jew, if I have possession for it, maybe I'm the one who has to do bedika. Meaning maybe the chiyuv bedika is attached to which part of ownership, not the shalom part of ownership, the one that on paper belongs to you, it's attached to the birshusoy aspect of ownership. Again, ownership has two aspects. One, on paper. The second, possession. So maybe the chiyuv of Bali Rabbi Matzeh, and then therefore the chiyuv of Bedika, is more a function of birshusoy than it is of shalom, and that's exactly what the Gemara has a suffix about. Who is the one who has to do bedika more? By Rabbi Matzah, you avoid it because he did biur chametz already. He did bitul chametz already. So by Rabbi Matzah, the rice was avoided. The question of bedika midrabanan, which is a function of bahiro, by must say, it's true, but is that more of a function of the shalom aspect of ownership or the beshuso aspect of ownership? That's how Rabbi Chanan learns the Gemara according to Rashi. And then it says, according to Tosfos, we could understand the Gemara the following way. Well, Perusha Tosfos that everyone holds the obligation of bedika is in order to remove the possibility that I'll encounter the chametz over Pesach and be tempted to eat it. Well, then isn't it obvious that it's on the tenant? Maybe not so. Well, Perusha Tosfos, the farish iboya, the afa tami shum shlo yovel yoklo eva hoka kvar chal chiyuv habedika betchila. When did you rent the apartment to somebody else? Our Gemara said you rented it on the 14th. And therefore, Tosfos here makes the point that the obligation was already chal on the landlord, who at that time, at the beginning of the 14th, was actually had possession of the apartment too. So the question of the Gemara is, yes, bedikas chametz is all because of the fear that you might find chametz over Pesach and be tempted to eat it. But the question of the Gemara is, once the chiyuv bedikas chal on the owner at the night of the 14th, and at that time he not only had, you know, paper ownership of it, he actually had physical possession of it and access to it, maybe that chiyuv bedika, once it's chal, and it remains attached to the original owner, it doesn't get transferred to the tenant. Even though, right, you know, in terms of the inner logic of doing bedika, it should really be transferred to the tenant, maybe as a technicality, once it's chal, and it can't, you know, it's non-transferable. And that's the suffix of the Gemara according to Tosfos. So according to Rashi, the suffix of the Gemara is which aspect of ownership triggers bedikas chametz, the shalom or the birshusai. According to Tosfos, the suffix of the Gemara is once the chiyuv bedikas chal on the original landlord, can it be transferred later to a tenant in the middle of the day of the 14th? Let's see over here Tosfos. Tosfos makes this point almost explicitly in Divrei Maskil al Hamaskir Livdoik. Tosfos says, how can we have a suffix? You know, who is the one who has the obligation to bedikas chametz, or bito chametz? Of course, it's the one who actually, on paper, owns the chametz. So he says, "Ein lefarish atam given to shaloihu, ve'ein adam yochel avata el chiyuv, ein adam yochel avata elahu." It can't be that we're actually talking about, you know, who is the one who has the who has liability for bali rabbi and over here for this chametz. It's clearly the one who actually owns it. So Elohu, Chayv lived out to Imkain, and therefore, Ein Lefarish Hatam, let's read again. Ein Lefarish Hatam, the Kevin Shalohu, the Ein Adam Yachalavat Elohu, so Chayv lived out. It can't be that the side in the Gemara that the original owner, the landlord, is the one who has to be the Kaskamis, is because he's the one who's responsible for it vis a vis by Rabbi Motzei. Then Ken, am I not getting maskier the Chaver Biyudah? If he'll be a Gimel Yeschayv a maskier. If that's the case, why is the Gemara only of the Shail on the 14th? We could have had the Shail if he rented on the 13th or the 12th. May high timer. I feel we give him his kind of mask. May high timer live dog. He would also have an obligation to check, even if it's on the he leased it on the 13th or the 12th or the 11th, because the Maisa, it's his comets. So therefore, Tosfos quotes from the Ri, who explains the Gemara. No, the subject of the Gemara is once it's chal on the 14th, there's no by Rabbi Motze really here to speak of, because either zeshenu shalov or zeshenu b'shus, or neither one has full ownership. But we're talking about you're ready to bito. So he says the whole suffix is only about the chiyuv midrabanan bedikas chametz on the day of the 14th, once it's been triggered already. L'kach mefarish ri, the chamira di day, hu v'chal av chiyuv bedikas shar achas koidim sheskira. It was already the night of the 14th, the chiyuv bedikas was chal. Umaisi rayam and mezuzah, and that's exactly why the Gemara is getting involved with the chiyuv mezuzah. Once the chiyuv mezuzah is chal on the original owner, can that get transferred subsequently to the tenant? Okay, so according to Tosfos, the suffix of the Gemara is, can the obligation of bedikas chametz be transferred from the original owner to the tenant, or do we say once it's chal on the original owner, remains with the original owner? So, Kavir, let's go back to the Gemara. Now that we understand the suffix, let's go back to the original Gemara, and let's see how the Gemara connects this to mezuzah. So Gemara says, Tashma hamaskir bayis l'chaveroi al-hasoich halasos loy mezuzah. One minute, a person who owns a house, he's a landlord, he's obligated in mezuzah. Once he leases it to somebody else, who's the one who's obligated in mezuzah? The renter. So you see, either according to Tosfos that the obligation of mezuzah got transferred to the tenant, or you see according to Rashi that who's the one who really, you know, is the owner of the house over here vis-a-vis halachic obligation such as bedikas chametz and mezuzah is the tenant. So the tenant should be the one to do bedikas chametz too, because in the tug of war between shaloi and bershusai, the one who actually owns it on paper, the one who actually has possession of it, possession seems to be, like in halacha, just like in secular law, right, is possession is 9/10 of the law. So the tenant should be the one who A has to do bedikah, and the tenant should, just like the tenant, is the one who puts on the mezuzah. So that's the argument of the Gemara. So the Gemara rejects this. Hasam Amar Rav Mashisha Mezuzah Chayvas Hadarhi. Hachamai So Hachamai over here. You know, the mezuzah is the mezuzah is the chayvas hadar. Over here is a different question. Hachamai, Amar Lehu Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Tanina Hamas Gevayis Hachamai. Okay, and then the Gemara brings a raya that it's on the that if he leases it before the 14th, then it's on the landlord to do the bedika. If he leases it after the 14th, then it's on the tenant to do the bedika. So my Amar Lehu Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Tanina Hamas Gevayis Hachamai. Machshel Amasal Amavteches. If he hasn't yet given over the keys, Chal Arba Asa, the 14th has arrived. Al Hamaske Livdok. So if he hasn't rented it yet to the tenant, then, and the obligation has arrived, the obligation cannot be transferred. It remains with the landlord. But if he already gave over the keys before the obligation has been triggered, Al Hasaycha Livdok. Then it's on the tenant. But the Gemara rejects the comparison. Okay, so that's the halacha, right? If the 14th comes and then you rent it, it remains with the landlord. If the renter takes it over before the 14th, then the obligation gets transferred to the tenant. And this is going to be important for the Mechiras Chametz today. We'll get to in a next time probably. But what's critical over here is the Gemara rejects the comparison between mezuzah and bedikas chametz. Why is mezuzah different than bedikas chametz? Why do we say that just because the tenant, even though the chiyuv got triggered by the original owner, by the landlord, right? If he would live there, he would have an obligation mezuzah. He leases it to someone else. Now it's on the tenant to put up the mezuzah. Why? It remains shaloi, it remains his. And according to Tosfos, we should say, right? Once the chiyuv mezuzah was chal, why does it get transferred to the tenant? It should remain with the landlord, just like the obligation bedikas chametz. Once it gets triggered, it remains with the landlord, as it cannot be transferred to the tenant. So Rashi here explains, what does it mean, chayvas hadarhi? So Rashi, look over here, chayvas hadar, gafisha hi mishamartoi, who receives the protection of the mezuzah. Mezuzah is all for a certain measure of protection. That's why we write on the mezuzah the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shakai, which is a Rosh HaTevis for Shomer Dalsus Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects the doors of Yisrael. Of course, it's also one of the names of the Ribbono Shel Olam, but we write it on the mezuzah because of Rosh HaTevis, Shomer Dalsus Yisrael. So since he's the one who's receiving the protection of the mezuzah, is who, the tenant? He's the one who has the obligation to put up the mezuzah. V'ksiv, v'uchsavtem amezuzahs beisecha, you should write on the doorpost of your house, bi'ascha nichlas v'yoytzei ba. The person who's walking in and out, so the one who's walking in and out is the tenant, not the landlord. So therefore the tenant is the one who has the obligation to put up the mezuzah, not the landlord. Mezuzah chayvas hadarhi. So Rashi seems to imply, why is mezuzah chayvas hadarhi? Why is the mezuzah clearly the obligation of the tenant? And that wasn't really the same, therefore, as bedikas chametz. It's kind of like gzeiras hakasev, that the tenant is the one who's receiving the protection of the mezuzah, the tenant is the one who's using the house, and chiyuv of mezuzah clearly goes, you know, as a function of possession of the house, not of paper ownership. And therefore, according to Rashi, it was obvious that the chiyuv mezuzah applies to the tenant, and really we can't derive from here to bedikas chametz, which might be a function of shalom, might be a function of birshuso. They're really two separate obligations, and therefore the Gemara rejects the comparison. And mezuzah is clearly a chiyuv on the tenant because he's the one who's using the apartment. So Rashi here seems to imply mezuzah chayvas hadarhi is that the tenant is the one who has to put up the mezuzah because he's the one who's using the apartment. I think it's pretty obvious. But look at Tosfos. Tosfos is a different way of phrasing this, and it's really important. Tosfos, and that Tosfos we were reading, Alamaskia Livdoik. So Tosfos says, Umaisi Raya Mimezuzah. Right where we left off. Umaisi Raya Mimezuzah. Again, Tosfos understood the subject of the Gemara. Once the chiyuv of Bedika gets triggered, can it then be transferred to the, you know, on the landlord, can it then be transferred to the tenant? And we posken that it can't be. Once it's triggered, it remains with the landlord. But Tosfos says, "Umaisi raya mezuzah da af al pi dechal chiyuv." Even though the chiyuv was triggered earlier by the landlord, by the owner of the property, "Av al pi dechal chiyuv kaidem shehiskir al hasoicher lasos mezuzah." Nonetheless, it gets transferred to the tenant. V'dachi, the Gemara rejects the comparison. The mezuzah chayves hadarhi. Mezuzah knows an obligation of the one who lives there. Why? Kloimar afilu lohaya maskira. Even if the landlord would not have rented the house, hayyachal ipotu mi mezuzah, he could have exempted himself from mezuzah. Shaloi hayadar umishtamish babayis. You don't have to use every house that you live, that you own. And therefore, if he would not have used it, he would not have been chayv in mezuzah. Avagabi chometz, ilu lo yaski ala acher yitzdarich livdoik. The chometz, he cannot relieve himself of the obligation to check for it unless he transfers ownership to somebody else. But mezuzah, if you own a house and you don't live there, there's no chiyuv mezuzah. That's how Tosis understand mezuzah chayves hadarhi. So according to Tosis, what does mezuzah chayves hadarhi mean? Mezuzah chayves hadarhi means that the owner, or in this case the landlord, is not obligated in mezuzah because he is not living there. That's not what it means for Rashi. What it means for Rashi is the tenant is obligated in mezuzah because he is living there. Some of you might think I just said the same thing, one in the positive, one in the reverse, but they're not the same at all. Not the same at all. Nafkamina. What about someone who owns a house and he doesn't live there? According to Tosis, Rabbosai, are you chayv in mezuzah? No. According to Rashi, we don't know. There's no one else. See, according to Rashi, the reason why the landlord is pater from mezuzah is because the tenant is there and he's chayv. What if there would be no tenant? Then it sounds like, according to Rashi, if you're the default owner, you're chayv in mezuzah. The only reason why the tenant here is chayv is because he's the one who's receiving the protection and he's the one who's going in and out. But if there is no tenant to exempt you, to take you off the hook, then the original owner would indeed be chayv in mezuzah. Whereas according to Tosis, it's absolutely not the case. What mezuzah chayv is hadar, he means is that the landlord doesn't live there, so therefore he's not chayv. But ownership alone doesn't trigger an obligation of mezuzah. What triggers an obligation of mezuzah clearly is birshusa, is the one who is actually have access to it, the one who is actually walking, you know, the one who's according to Rashi, the chiyuv mezuzah is triggered by the one who's, you know, who's going in and out. So if there's a tenant who's going in and out, he's receiving the protection of the mezuzah, so then he's the one who has to put up the mezuzah. If there would be no tenant, it would probably go back to the original owner, to the original landlord. According to Tosis, that's not the case. According to Tosis, even the original owner and the landlord is not chayv to put up a mezuzah unless he's actually using it. And therefore, if even if there would be no tenant, he wouldn't be obligated to put up a mezuzah. So according to Tosis, you could have a guy who actually owns a property, and if he doesn't use it, there's no chiyuv mezuzah. According to Rashi, I don't think that's the case. According to Rashi, the ownership alone is what's mechayv yom mezuzah. And as we'll see, this is Tosis Kushitosoi. Chaver, look over here at Tosis and Mesechtas Menachos. Daf Mem Dalet Amud Aleph. Tosis there is discussing again the rule mezuzah chayves hadarhi. The mezuzah is the obligation of the tenant. There's a famous sefer in Hilchos Mezuzah called Chayves Hadar. That's I think the most famous sefer in Hilchos Mezuzah. It's like this thin, but it mamish has everything on Hilchos Mezuzah. Avrami, vazakstu.
But my question on Tosos is, like, even if you don't live in the house, like as it says in Shema, which is in the mezuzah, like you still are going to want your property to be protected.
Ah, you would think that, right? But mezuzah, chayves hadarhi. Mezuzah is an obligation of a person who's living there. And if you're not living there, there's no obligation of mezuzah. Right? You don't put up, let's say I own a herd of cows. No one would suggest you should put up a mezuzah on a herd of cows. Maybe in the house they live in, yes, right? But we're not going to get to that. But a refesh shabakar, but a barn. But you don't put mezuzahs on, right? There is such a practice among non-religious Jews to put mezuzahs all over the place. It's kind of like a talisman for protection. We don't really do that. Right? They wear it around their neck. It's a very popular, you see in Eretz Yisrael in the shops, they sell mezuzahs around their neck. And, you know, famous joke, though. A guy once came to his boss's house. He's a frum guy. And he saw the mezuzahs all over the house. He says to the guy, why do you have these? He says, well, they're there to protect the house. And the guy saw, wow, he's doing quite well in business. It's a nice house. Must be it works. So he saw mezuzahs all over the place. Fine. And he was very impressed. A few months later, the boss visits the employee's house. And he sees, he's not a Jewish fellow, he sees that there's a mezuzah outside on the front door. So he says to the man, he says, what is this? He says, well, I saw in your house, you have all these mezuzahs that protect your house. So I called the local Judaic store and I got one for myself. I put it on the outside of my house. He said, yeah, but I had to get rid of the instructions that were inside first. But once I got rid of them, I put it up in the mezuzah and it was fine. Anyway, he said, I couldn't understand that. They were in Chinese. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. So Lamai says you only put it up if you are the tenant there. You don't just put up random mezuzahs as protections, as like you know, as like a rabbit's foot. That's not the Jewish version of the rabbit's foot. It had something that has to be in a place where a person is dwelling. It has to be a mezuzah beisecha, not just to protect random property. Anyway, so this seems to be a machlekes Tosfos and other rishonim. Look over here, Tosfos on Oishei. Tosfos Maseches Menachos says, "V'hadi bar b'soif hashoyel mezuzah al mi uparich." Who has the obligation of mezuzah? The landlord or the tenant? Ha'amar amarshisha chayves hadarhi. So says Tosfos, "Lav lechiyuvei soicher ma'isila." Mezuzah chayves hadar. He does not what obligates the tenant. El hachik amar pshita shahamaskir eino chayiv. What it means is the maskir is not chayiv because someone else is living there. Kevin sheino darsham. So the obligation on the tenant is only because he's living there. But really, what mezuzah chayves hadar he means is that whoever is living there is the one who needs to put up the mezuzah, and therefore the tenant is the one who needs to do it. But it more, you know, perhaps the focus of it is that it exempts the landlord, because he's not the one who's living there. And that implies that if a person owns a house, but he doesn't live there, there's no chiyuv of mezuzah. The Nemuka Yosef in Hilchas Mezuzah seems to disagree. Look over here, the Nemuka Yosef, it happens to be what Tosfos said is echoed by other Rishonim. He's not the only Rishon who says like this, that mezuzah chayves hadar, what it means is to exempt the landlord, because he's not the one who actually lives there. If you look at the Ran and Ardaf, Ron says a similar thing, that what mezuzah chayves hadar he means is to exempt, look over here, the second line from the bottom of the Ran is Dalin, v'dachinon deloy dami de mezuzah chayves hadar hi. You can't compare bedikas chamis to mezuzah. Mezuzah is clearly the obligation of the tenant, and not the landlord. Hilkach, he says, afilu lo hiskir, even if he didn't lease it to somebody else, hayokli potem imenu kozman shlo yehed dar o mishtamish babayis. If he wouldn't be living in the house and using it, he would not be obligated in mezuzah. Ma she'en ken gabi chamei chuchiyu mechuyov livdo kozman shlo hiskir. As long as you didn't rent it to somebody else, you have an obligation to do bedikas chamis. So that's why the Gemara says you can't compare the two. Mezuzah is clear, you know, even if you didn't lease it to somebody, you would be potter from mezuzah unless you live there. So Tosfos and the Ran and many other Rishonim seem to have understood mezuzah chayves hadar in this fashion. Look at the Muke Yosef, though, it says it somewhat differently, formulates it differently. And the Muke Yosef says, al hasoicher la'asos mezuzah. What mezuzah chayves hadar means is that the tenant is the one who has the obligation, and as a reaction to that, the landlord's potter. But if there be no tenant, the landlord might actually be chayev, and that seems to be what Rashi was saying over here. Rashi is focused on the tenant. The tenant is chayev, okay, so that gets the landlord off the hook. And that's the way Nemuka Yosef formulates it too. Soicha lasas mezuzah shu tzara shmira, kevin shu dar b'soicha. He is the one who has to put it up, because he's the one who's living there. Avogav she'im loy hayaschura, hayachai maskir. If it would not be leased out, he just goes a step further than Rashi says, and if it would not be leased out, who has the obligation of mezuzah, the landlord? Lasas ma mezuzah midi da havi abayis hatevenu beisa etzim. He says it's no different than a place which a person uses for storage, that you're chayv to put a mezuzah. Afil haki kevin shor seicha loy matzah ba mezuzah, chayv lasas la mezuzah. Okay, so if the seicha doesn't put up a mezuzah, the maskir has to do it, because he really has he retains that original obligation of mezuzah, because it's no different than any other storage facility that he's using. The truth of the matter is, storage facilities, we're not going to get into all of Hilchos Mezuzah right now, but a Beis HaOitzer is a controversial issue in Hilchos Mezuzah. It's actually two opinions in the Gemara Masechus Yuma over here, Yudalef Amud Aleph, or Yizvav, on the Gemara Mekaymis. Machlekes, do you put up a mezuzah on a storage house, on a Beis HaOitzer? One opinion, the Gemara was Peturim bin Mezuzah. The other opinion was Chayavim bin Mezuzah. We pass on Chayavim bin Mezuzah, but the opinion of the in Shulchan Aruch, but the opinion of the Rambam is that you're potter from Mezuzah. So that's why if a person has a garage or something, a garage is a little bit different. You might use for other things, but if a person just uses it for storage, so then not for other things, you know, which he might decide to use it once in a while. If it's just for storage, then we put up a mezuzah without a bracha, to be chayshish for the opinion of the Rambam, that a storage facility is potter from mezuzah. But either way, the assumption of the Rishonim here was that you are chayiv. So he says, if a person would not have a tenant there, the landlord would be chayiv, because as long as he's storing something there, he's chayiv, no different than a Beis HaOitzeris. So those that interpreted this in Muka Yosef to say that if a person has a house, even if he doesn't live there, he's obligated to put up a mezuzah. And Sefer Chinuch seems to give a similar implication. Sefer Chinuch says, Mitzvah Tovkov Gimel Va'over Al Zeh Ubana Ba'ez V'Nasan La'Tikva O'Niach Ba Mezuzah Miyad. Person violates the mitzvah or negates the mitzvah putting up a mezuzah if he builds a house, and he doesn't put up a mezuzah right away. Sounds like you have to put it up right away upon building the mezuzah. It has upon building the house. Has nothing to do with actually living there. Just the fact that you built a house. You have to put up a mezuzah. Now, Chaim Kanievsky has a similar diuk in Mesechtas Mezuzah. Mesechtas Mezuzah is one of those Mesechtas Ketanas that's printed at the end of Seder Nezikin, together with Mesechtas Seifrim and Mesechtas Smachis, which is on Hilchos Avelos. So Mesechtas Mezuzah, he wrote a whole commentary on Mesechtas Mezuzah, I don't know how many years ago, 50 years ago or something. I'm sure it's still in print, you can find it somewhere. So in his commentary, Mesechtas, I have a copy from a long time ago. But in Mesechtas Mezuzah, he has a kind of like a Mishnah Berurah on Mesechtas Mezuzah. It's fantastic. So in Mesechtas Mezuzah, he brings a raya from this language of the Braisa, Bayis Chadosh, a new house, Akar Shegamroi, Chayv Mezuzah. The minute that a person finishes building the house, he's already Chayv Mezuzah, and he makes no mention of the fact that you're actually living there. So it sounds like a person who has a house, even if he doesn't live there, is obligated in Mezuzah, and he brings a raya from a Gemara Mesechtas Menachos. The Gemara says in Menachos, I'm going to give him Reish Galusa Bana Besa. You know, the Reish Galusa built a house. He was a rich man. Amalei the Rav Nachman, he said to the rabbi, I sometimes get called to do this in big fancy places, they call the rabbi to come hang the mezuzah. It's not a very, I guess a lot of people have sveikas about where to put up the mezuzah, but having the rebbe come put up a mezuzah by some people it's a foreign thing, but okay. So sometimes get called to put up the mezuzah. So the Reish Galusa called Rav Nachman to put up his mezuzahs. Amalei Rav Nachman, kavali mezuzasa. Amar Rav Nachman, tali deisha bereisha. He said, first put up the doors. And then, you have to first put in the doors, and then I'll put up the mezuzahs. So the Rambam actually brings a raya from here, that in order to be chayv mezuzah, you have to have a door. If there's no door, there's no mezuzah. Obligation of mezuzah. Other Rishonim disagree, and they say, no, what it means is, we need to know which direction to put the mezuzah on. It always goes in the right way of entering. I don't know which way, you know, the door enters and which way is an exit. You can tell, right, a door typically, if it's a proper door, opens in. Right? You never have a door that opens out. You could pick such a lock very easily. You typically have a door that opens in. So the mezuzah will be on the right side going in, but I need to know which way is this door going to be used. Is it going to be used for going in? Is it going to be used for going out? Which way is in? Which way is out? So I need you to hang the doors and so I can know which side to put the mezuzah on. It's on the right side going in. Yamin ha-nichnas, I don't know which way is the yamin ha-nichnas until you hang the doors. So the Ravid learned the Gemara just, we need to figure out which way to put the, you know, which direction, which side to put the mezuzah. The Rambam said a person that chayv mezuzah unless he actually unless there are actually doors there. That's why, if you're hanging mezuzahs, you never make with a bracha unless there's an actual door there. That's why we typically, when you're putting up mezuzahs, you put them all up at once and you don't speak in between any of the doors, and then one bracha suffices for all the mezuzahs. But you should make the bracha on typically a bedroom that has a door. And preferably doesn't have another exit. If it has another exit, we're not sure which way is the in, which way is the out. So we typically make it on known as a cheder pnim, an inner room that has no other exit or entrance, and that actually has a door. That's why we rarely make the bracha of mezuzah on the front door. Because sometimes the front door, there's a little vestibule, which isn't big enough really to be chayv mezuzah, and it's only obligated as kind of like an entryway into another room. So the best room is you make the bracha on the bedroom, which is usually big enough and has a door, and then you may go from there to all the other mezuzahs. Meikra, I didn't know where to hold your chayv and mezuzah, even if there are no doors. So that's why we put up mezuzahs without a bracha, even if there is no door. But what do you see from this Gemara? The minute that he built the house, says Chaim Kanievsky, right away he had to put up the mezuzah. That's why the minute that he built the house, he told him to put up the mezuzah. So don't you see, you're obligated to put up a mezuzah the minute that you build a house. So okay, we're going to have to continue with this tomorrow, but let's say a person buys a house. He went to the closing. When do you put up the mezuzahs? Right away, or do you have to wait until you actually move in? And what difference does it make? What if you put it up early? Can you put up mezuzahs early? Or when does a renter put up mezuzahs? Does he put them up right away when he rents a property? Does he put it up when he moves in? Does he wait till day 30? All halachas that really come up lemaisa. So we have to go over that. And then Emil Tzeshem, we're going to have to figure out how this relates to people who rent their apartment over Pesach. When who does bedikas chametz? Okay, chevron.